Good morning to each and every one of you worshiping with us here in the sanctuary and at home, wherever you are. I pray that the blessing of the Holy Spirit will visit you individually, touch your heart, speak to your heart, that we may all know how much God loves us. We will have the Christmas Eve celebration via Zoom, and if you would, we will still doing the full service, including the candlelight. So if you have the steady candle stand at home, and then where you can set it up a little bit away from you, during the part of the Sunday, the Christmas Eve worship, we will have the candle lighting and then Christmas carol singing together. So I invite you to join us for Christmas Eve. There was a man who worked for the post office whose job was to process all the mail that had illegible addresses. One day a letter came addressed in a shaky handwriting to God, with no actual address. He thought he should open it to see what it was about. The letter read, "Dear God, I am an 85-year-old widow living on a very small pension. Yesterday, I lost my purse. It had $100 in it, which was all the money I had until my next pension payment. Next Sunday is Christmas, and I had invited two of my friends over for dinner. Without that money, I have nothing to buy food with, have no family to turn to, and you are my only hope. Can you please help me? Sincerely, Shirley." The postal worker was touched. He showed the letter to his co-workers. Each one dug into his or her wallet and came up with a few dollars. By the time he made a round, he had collected $96, which they put into an envelope and sent to the woman. This kind act made them happy. They felt a warm glow thinking of Shirley and the dinner she would be able to share with a friend. Christmas came and went. A few days later, another letter addressed to God came from the same old lady. All the post office employees gathered around to find out how she celebrated her Christmas. It read, "Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to fix a glorious dinner for my friend. We had such a memorable gathering that we would remember for a long time. By the way, there was $4 missing. I think it might have been those bastards at the post office. Sincerely, Shirley." There are so many different ways we celebrate Christmas. Certainly, gathering among families and friends brighten our life. But sadly, some of us would miss the gathering due to COVID-19. Exchanging gifts certainly make our hearts merry. In my family, giving presents to our children used to be one-way traffic. The parents would understand what it means. Now Becky and I get to enjoy reward from many years of our investment on kids. Isn't that wonderful? Sharing love with people in need warms our hearts and also those who receive it. On behalf of our church, I'm delivering a Christmas present to a single mom who is suffering from a terminal cancer. Decorating Christmas trees and writing cards are joyous activities. But the best way to celebrate Christmas ever is the way the Virgin Mary did. I would like to us to reflect upon what the first Christmas meant for Mary. The incarnation was a historically momentous event. Almighty God came down to the earth to dwell among humans. For Mary, however, it was a very personal event that drastically changed the course of her life. God, through the Holy Spirit, entered into her body, and Mary gave birth to the Son of God. Mary experienced God's presence at the closest range than anyone could. Literally, God was within her body. What a blessing, what a privilege. Let's see if Mary had any qualification to bear God in her body physically. Mary was a common name for a girl during those times. The Virgin Mary could have been just one of numerous Marys, but her encounter with the angel Gabriel made Mary the one we all admire. The appearance of an angel to anyone would usually be a desirable encounter. Hebrews 13 says this, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." But for Mary, it was a frightful one because of a kind of greeting she received. The gospel says, Mary was greatly troubled hearing it. The encounter became even more troublesome because of the annunciation that followed. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. You are engaged to marry Joseph, and an angel appeared before you and announced that you are going to have someone else's baby. How shocking the news would have been. According to the ancient Jewish custom, Mary could have been betrothed at her early teen years. Some apocryphal accounts state that Mary was between 12 to 14 years of age, or some other writing says 16 years old. The age may sound a bit too early, for in U.S. today, the legal age for marriage is 18. Considering that the average life expectancy during Jesus' time was around 35 years, marrying early between 12 and 16 years of age is understandable. Mary was old enough to marry and was cognizant of how devastating consequences of pregnancy outside the marriage would be. It could totally destroy her, and she would be thrown out of her community. And she was still very young to endure those kinds of hardship. So her reaction of fear about the Annunciation was just natural. What is so remarkable was, in spite of her fear and the fearful consequences, she accepted the proposal from the angel. What kind of virtue do we see here? Obedience and humility in their highest form. In Mary's response to the angel, we see a profound humility. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now, her word here, the servant, in New Testament means slave. In most places, when we read the servant, is in Greek, doulos. And you are familiar with this Latin word, which is similar to Greek, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie, that means Lord. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. So here in the original text, Mary said, He doulos Kyrio. Dulle Kyrio. That means the slave of the Lord. I am your slave. That's what Mary said. Doulos is the same as a born slave or born servant. In other words, lifelong slave. In English language, the word slave has a bad connotation with the history of oppression and injustice, and the word slave has fallen out of common use. So instead of translating the word as slave, they use servant. I am the Lord's servant, but literally, she said, I am your slave. Servant implies a free person who is hired for pay. Servant is not bound, while a slave is bound to an owner until he or she dies. And King James Version gives a translation close to the original Greek. It says, the handmaid of the Lord. So basically, Mary said, I am your slave, which indicates how wholeheartedly she embraced humility. She confessed her readiness to follow God's will as a slave would, even if she would lose her dignity and honor. The Annunciation sounded like a command from a trainer for parachuting to a novice who is never trained to jump. If you are not trained, would you jump from a plane 2,000 feet above the ground? You know, there is a good possibility for you to die. No one would ask a novice to jump. Mary had never been married. She never had a baby. The angel's proposal to a teenage Jewish girl living in a community strictly governed by tradition and laws was not exactly practical and appealing. But the obedience Mary demonstrated was absolutely extraordinary. Mary's humility and obedience basically opened the whole self to God's plan in her life. Mary pledged to marry and build her own family, but God had an entirely different plan for her. She was to be the mother of God's own son. God said to Mary, I have a plan for you. I'm going to enter your body and abide within you. You are not going to live the life of your own, but I'm going to run your life. And I will bless you. In fact, you are going to be the most blessed. Consequently, from the time of pregnancy, Mary's life was driven by the son she conceived. Mary's act of opening her whole being could be explained as an act of emptying herself. Mary, rid of self-ego, self-esteem, and pride. Mary denied her personal will and plan so that God, through the Holy Spirit, could enter into her body and abide within her. And this is how Mary experienced Christmas. And this is exactly how we could experience Christmas as well. With the humility and obedience, we deny ourselves and open our hearts and lives so that God, through the Holy Spirit, may enter into our life and abide within us. This is how we experience Emmanuel. We empty ourselves and surrender to God as completely as Mary did. Then God will enter into our life and be the master over our life. You may recognize this name. Nichelle Nichols. She played Uhura in the original Star Trek TV program. 6 Star Trek movies. She was one of the first black women featured on a weekly TV show. As such, she had obstacles to overcome. According to Steve Jones in USA Today, a few studio executives were hostile toward her character, while which was often diminished by script writer rewrites. And the studio even withheld tons of her fan mail. After 1 year on the program, she was fed up. Nichols, who also was an extremely talented professional singer and dancer, told Jean Roddenberry she was going to quit and pursue her performing career. Before she did, however, she went to a fundraiser for the NAACP. There she happened to meet Dr. Martin Luther King, who urged her to not leave the show. She was a role model for many. Says Nichols, when you have a man like Dr. Martin Luther King say you can't leave a show, it's daunting. It humbled my heart, and I couldn't leave. God had charged me with something more important than my own career. The rest, as they say, is history. Not only did she become a fixture on Star Trek, she actually influenced NASA, challenging them to hire blacks and women for their astronaut corps. She led 1977 NASA recruitment drive that saw 1,600 women and 1,000 minorities apply within 4 months. By giving up her plans to sing and dance, Nichols found the defining role of her career, Uhura, in one of the most popular TV shows ever, and influenced a nation. Like Nichelle Nichols, as we die to ourselves and our own plans so that we can pursue something far more important, the cause of Christ, we find our God-given destiny. At the first Christmas, God entered into Mary and blessed her, and God wants to do it again during this Christmas. God wants to come into our lives and bless us. Are we open to God's proposal? Do we have obedience and humility to give up everything we cherish and let God run our life? Is there a room for God through the Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts and our body? Or do we still have fear of God to come in and lose control? Life that God plans is better than ours. Life that is controlled by God is better than the one we try to run. And this is a Christmas prayer that Mary teaches us to pray. And I would like us to pray with me. I am the Lord's servant. I open my life and my heart to you. Come into my life. I am yours. Use me. Fulfill your will in my life. Amen.